This is number 41 in our series on the laws of life. Tonight we're working with the divine law of vibration. And our question is, what is the divine law of vibration? And how can an aspirant best harness it? I've shuffled the cards, laid them out in a spread, and we have the following result. The starting point is the Seven of Pentacles, right side up. The counterpoint is the King of Rods, right side up. The challenge is the Nine of Cups, right side up. The purpose is the Lovers, right side up. And the endowment is the Star, right side up. So the first five cards are all right side up, and the last five cards are all the reverse. And we go on to the Guard of Destiny, the King of Swords, upside down. The real question, the Eight of Cups, upside down. The unseen forces, the Six of Cups, upside down. The spiritual ideal, the Queen of Rods, upside down. And the culmination is the Nine of Swords, upside down. Now, this is not without significance, the right side up and the upside downs. Often it's a fairly irrelevant issue, but here it has a definite symbolic meaning, and that is that for a long time, even though vibration is important and valuable, we don't understand the law of vibration or how to handle it. And yet the key to vibration is that it takes a sounder and a hearer, or an observer and a receiver, a transmitter and a receiver. You can't have a radio if you just have a broadcast but no receiving radios. You can't have a TV with a TV broadcast but no TV sets to receive it. It doesn't do any good for the soul to broadcast divine qualities if there's no personality to receive it. It doesn't do any good for an individual disciple to radiate love and joy throughout the world unless there are people who are on their wavelength capable of receiving that love and joy. So this is why we have the Lover's card and the Six of Cups. There's a key part of the law of vibration is the interplay between heaven and earth, between seen and unseen, between truth and untruth, whatever it might be. And it the law of vibration works to slowly, relentlessly, gradually bring two seeming opposites, the dualities of life, together into a common synthesis. And then we have attunement. And so that understanding of the law of vibration alone would make this a very, very important law. But it's even more important than that suggests. This is the law of atomic substance itself. It's a key law used by the divine logos in establishing creation, producing creation. It's a key law used by the soul in incarnating and creating a personality, tending that personality, nurturing that personality through many lifetimes. And it's a very key law for us to, in our work of bridging the gap between the personality and the soul. So it's a very, very consequential and important law, and one that is of great significance to us. So let's get busy and look at it a little bit more in depth. Our starting point is the Seven of Pentacles, and the Seven of Pentacles is a individual with a pet goose or duck, and in the background there's what looks to be like a big shrub or maybe even a Christmas tree this time of the year. An amorphous gray blob with seven pentacles hanging from the various branches. So we have here, this is often a the big shrub or tree-like shrub arrangement is often thought of as vast consciousness. It is and can be interpreted that way. It can also be interpreted as the chakra system or centers of energy throughout any expression of life, be it physical, human, or national, or business, or whatever. But the basic key here is we need to think of life in terms of energy. If we think in terms of form, the idea of vibration doesn't make any sense. If you've read the Tibetan's book, Letters on Occult Meditation, he spends quite a bit of time talking about color and sound and their relevance. And their relevance is the law of vibration, their relevance to spiritual growth and development. A color, blue, does not seem to have any dynamic element to it. It just is. But if we understand that that color is symbolic of intuition and integration, then suddenly it's a living dynamic energy that we can import into our consciousness and do all kinds of things with it. And so this is, we begin to discover that all of life is energy, that every element or thing that is in creation has this peculiar vibration, and from the discernment of that vibration, we can discover the level of evolution. It's either, as we'll see when we get to the Six of Cups, it's either quite advanced or quite average or very sluggish and undeveloped. So everything that we deal with, our relationships, other human beings, ideas, traditions, social structures, habits, etc. All of these are energies which contain a vibration. One of the things back when we had Books of Light Book Club and it was active and we had a new selection every month or so, whenever Dr. Lightwing would come in for a writing session and a visit, we would haul the box of books that had been submitted to us for review out, and we'd pick them up. He'd pick one up and hold it up to his head, and I'd pick one up and hold it to my head, and then we'd tell each other what vibration we got out of the book. Usually it was very low, dominated by the sacral center. In other words, the consciousness of the person that wrote the book was operating more or less through their sexual organs. Such a book would be tossed immediately into the trash can or into the outer darkness, if you want, where it spent its time gnashing its teeth or what have you. But every now and then we would come across something written with a refined level of consciousness, and then we would actually bother to read it to see what it said. And you can do this with books, you can do it with music, you can do it with any set of ideas. In fact, you can do it with public figures. When somebody comes out on the evening news and says, trust me on this, blah, 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 you can immediately tune into their vibration and see whether it's trustworthy or not, because their assurance, their commitment is either genuine and legitimate and filled with reliability, or it's a lie. And so if you understood and fully activated the law of vibration, you'd be able to instantly separate the wheat from the chaff. You'd instantly be able to separate truth from lies. And in general, that's a good exercise to train yourself mentally. this should be a part of, I think, fourth grade in school. It's a little advanced for first grade, but it should be standard teaching in fourth grade to get kids to listen to people in religion, in politics, in ideas, in education, in every community, every department of life, and see which ones are telling the truth and which ones are telling whoppers. And this is not to encourage cynicism, but in fact to encourage the true spirit of inquiry and learning to discern the vibratory sophistication of the individual. In this context, and in the context of the Seven of Pentacles, we should understand that our first and foremost aspect of the law of vibration, the way in which it applies most directly to our lives, is we all are the creation of a certain ray vibration. The soul is a creation of a certain ray vibration, and we vibrate to that soul ray. And the soul in turn vibrates to the ray of the ray lord, the vibration of the ray lord, ray two, ray three, ray whatever. And the more we grasp this and work with it, the more we come to understand that our lessons in life, the scope of our life, even our interest in work, is conditioned by the particular ray of our personality and the particular ray of the soul. And this is true of the nation as well. It's also true of many other forces and factors in life. Not just in terms of our personality, but in terms of the ideas that we favor, the attitudes we favor, and so on. So we are shaped by vibratory impulses. We're conditioned by the vibratory impulses of people around us. If we have a particular absence of a certain type of ray influence in our life, we'll probably seek out other people, a spouse perhaps, or children who are on that ray and therefore enrich our life with that presence because there's a psychological need for it. So there's a definite vibration here, and the law of vibration allows the soul to create the personality, allows God to create creation. And we can only understand this concept if we understand it in terms of energy vibrating. And so, for example, the Christ 2,000 years ago advanced the idea of a loving God. Up until that point, the Judaic system was conditioned by the fear of God. I am Jehovah, I'm a jealous God, and I demand that you pay your full attention to me, and blah, 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 blah. And the Jews were taught to fear God, fear the wrath, the rule of screwing around. He wouldn't hesitate to send a 40 days and 40 nights of rain to purify his people. Yeah, he would let Noah know about it ahead of time so he could build an ark, but beyond that, it was a pretty fearsome thing. Well, all right, so in 2,000 years since the time of the Christ, we've learned a great deal about the vibratory vitality of love. And this is something that humanity was not very expert at, certainly not the forgiveness aspect of it, the goodwill, the with malice toward none, with charity toward all aspect of it. We were in primitive condition. And that was 2,000 years ago. Now, we haven't learned everything, but in 2,000 years of responding to the vibration of Christ's love, not just people who call themselves Christian, but everybody in the world has been conditioned and elevated by this. But you can go and find parts of the world where primitive people still exist, and they don't have any kind of sophisticated understanding of the nature of love. To them, love simply means possession. You are mine. And that's not what love is at all. It's a distortion of love. So the study of human development and human enlightenment requires us to have some understanding of the power of vibration and the constant fact that our life is conditioned by all different kinds of vibratory forces. We can see this for Rasmus clearly in the arts, where vibratory conditioning of music and great artwork soothes the savage soul. What is Goethe's quote? Everybody should hear a little fine music, see a beautiful piece of artwork, et cetera, every day, so that their memory of the soul is reborn in their consciousness. Something to that effect. But this is a tremendously powerful influence. Now, when you understand that basic principle, and as you grow in your capacity to control your thoughts and feelings and so on, you begin to discover the dynamic power of creativity, that you can use vibrations, specifically chosen vibrations like the Om, to create specific desired effects, to control and discipline and purify your emotions and thoughts. Now, the downside of this, and this is something that Dr. Lichtman talks about a tremendous amount in his new book, Building the Bridge to Heaven, and is a wonderful contribution without parallel anywhere in the literature. We all know about the need for purification, but we don't necessarily understand its value. But he points out how he doesn't use the idea of vibration here, but he points out that if you constantly are depressed and cynical, you're going to have a whole lot of trouble building any bridge to heaven, because you've already built your bridge to hell. And you've chosen to use this concept in the wrong way. So we have to build that. We have to dismantle our depression and our cynicism and whatnot before we can start building anything constructive. It's a marvelous, marvelous description of that. Now, getting back to this, what that means is if you're, there are some people that are walking pariahs. They're like, what's the cartoon character? Joe Bistic, whatever his name was. And everything he does turns to what? Well, Pigpen in the Peanuts cartoon, yeah. And so if you're walking around carrying with you gloom and doom, you're setting forth a vibratory keynote that will draw to you gloom and doom. It works amazingly well. It's an invocation. But if you develop the control, the purificatory control of this, you can transform your emotions from negative emotions into positive emotions. You can learn to control your mind so that your mind is attuned only to divine possibilities, not to dire projections, or prophecies. And you can recreate the structure of your life in that way. And you can, in fact, become positive towards mass consciousness, getting back to Seven of Pentacles and that gray blob in the background. And you can sound keynotes through your living that lift up the quality of your family, of the morale at your workplace, and of the general community in which you live. And so one of the ways you can work with the law of vibration is to increase the level of quality and independence and the love of freedom in our country as we work to serve the spirit of America. So that's our beginning initial statement here. We then go on to the King of Rods. This is the counterpoint. This implies that we're not just left all on our own without any means to handle an overwhelming situation. As we develop the mind and develop our mental discernment, we are able to see what the vibratory nature of mass consciousness is. We're able to discern lies and more lies when they are poured forth out of the mouth of somebody who says, "Trust me, would I lie to you?" Usually when somebody says, "Would I lie to you?" they are lying to you that very moment. That's just not a law of life, but an observation for you. Anyway, it's the sharply developed, well-tempered mind that lets us work with the law of vibration so that we can recognize that our life is a vibration set in motion by the soul, which in turn is being inspired by the ray nature it's working with. And our work, our attitudes, our approaches are all in harmony with this. It's not just our ray nature, of course, but the forces of the zodiac, all the astrological energies. There are many energies that we're not even aware of, energies that God is responding to and responsible for developing that we're not even aware of, that, for example, over here in the position of the real question, he's surveying the situation under the new moon, under the auspices of the new moon. Well, this is a subtle reminder that many of the vibratory influences that we must work with are lunar. We're here on Earth. The soul is not affected especially by lunar forces, but the personality certainly is, because this is a mundane materialistic life that we're leading here. And we use the mind to, and the principle of law of vibration to hold our personality in control. But, we still have to understand that we have to deal with certain forces that are beyond our ken, beyond our conscious awareness. I think the way this particular spread is bookended is very appropriate. We start with the Seven of Pentacles, and we have the towering force of mass consciousness seemingly overwhelming the individual, certainly the duck. The duck is frightened out of his mind. You don't see that. Anyway, and then at the other end, at the fulfillment, we have the Nine of Swords. And, of course, the Nine of Swords is a woman who is bereaved and is not sure she can handle her confrontation with the residue of ancient evil before her that looms. And of course, this is one of the Tibetans' favorite phrases. But we go from the moment-to-moment influence of mass consciousness to the confrontation with the ancient evil. But look how nicely the ancient evil is organized and structured by the time we get to that. It's an amorphous blob here in the Seven of Pentacles. Yes, we have to deal with crap and corruption as we go through life, infidelity, greedy people who would take advantage of us, et cetera, et cetera. What we learn through these lessons, that we have the power simply by sounding the proper vibration to organize these factors in our life and dominate them. We are designed to discover that joy triumphs over depression, that love heals hate and anger and malice, that patience triumphs over impatience and irritability. And so this is the power of the law of vibration. If we get our vibrations lined up correctly, there's nothing that can stop us. If we also have the well-tempered mind that this the King of Rods represents and entails. And so all kinds of things start to fall into place and make sense if you think about it. There are people out there, and this has become almost a cliche of our modern age, that there are all different kinds of people out there who are looking for ways to be offended. We've been bombarded with an episode of that nature here over the last few days with the Duck Dynasty hoo-ha. But the thing is that no one should be offended. Anybody who's offended simply doesn't understand the law of vibration. If it's offensive, if it's offensive to your eye that the sun shines, well, pluck your eye out. That's Jesus's remedy for it. But all those who, you know, probably that advice probably offends all oculists everywhere, eye doctors. He would actually say, pluck your eye out just because your eye gives you offense. Well, you see, this is a personal matter. It's a question of vibration. If we're offended by something somebody says, the problem lies not in the log in their eye, but the TNT in our eye that is causing us to be bloodshot every time it explodes. And this is the law of vibration. We... you can either master the injurious vibrations, or you can succumb to them. And our job is to master them. So this is a very important part of interacting with life. It governs the interplay of life as you encounter ideas. If you're going to be offended by an idea, you better figure out the law of vibration so that you can balance it out. The fact is that this principle of vibration, the law of vibration, is a very nice summation of all the laws. Now, I realize it's not our 42nd reading. We've got one more to go after this. But that'll be even a nicer summation. But this is, it prepares us and lets us see how, without understanding the law of vibration, you can't understand the laws of life. And if you're offended by anything in life, then that means that you're out of harmony with the divine laws of life. And your problem is not that anybody's offending you, but that you're not honoring God. You're offended by the fact that there is a higher power than you are. And in fact, I was just half listening to an interview I think Greta was having with Sarah Palin when I came downstairs to get ready for this session. And she was saying that the problem of these people being offended by what Phil Robertson of Duck Dynasty said was that they reject any sense of higher authority. So when somebody comes along that cites or refers to higher authority, then they become offended because they don't dare come out and say, God doesn't know what he's talking about. Some of them have that chutzpah, but most of them don't. So they blame people who believe in God instead and claim to be offended by their belief structure. But you see, this is a breakdown of the law of vibration. And understanding the law of vibration is as important to the activity of the divine law as the skills of building and construction are to implementing design. You can have a great architectural design for a building. If you don't know how to build it, you can't translate the design into an actual building. You can have a wonderful design or law of human living, but if you don't have a handle or a grasp on the law of vibration, you can't do anything with it. All right. So we've now looked at the Seven of Pentacles and the King of Rods, our starting point and our counterpoint. And we go on to the challenge, which is the Nine of Cups. The Nine of Cups is our happy, cocky fellow, very proud of the work he does. But he is right in the midst of the conflict of daily life. But notice how just above him there's a sharp demarcation. And he's in the lower half of the picture. And the nine cups that he's working with are all his higher inspirations, spiritual ideals, if you want. And so this brings us to the understanding of the idea that any individual's ability to serve the plan of God, to be about the work of God, to enrich the life on earth with the treasures of heaven, depends upon the law of vibration. On the news tonight, there was some yo-yo has posted a sign somewhere, I think it was in New York, a billboard that said, what would Christmas be without the Christ? Well, it would be, nobody would miss it, or something like that. It was an atheist type thing. It's ridiculous. But an attempt to further secularize Christmas and diminish it. Well, that's the same kind of thing. What would our life be without God? Well, it wouldn't be worth living. Period. Simple. Easy. You know, like stables. That was easy. And so we have to have the divine archetypes are the source of everything good and wonderful in life. Without that, if you take them away, if we have no capacity to respond through the law of vibration to goodwill, joy, peace, harmony, and all different kinds of scientific and artistic inspiration, then we are left with nothing, absolutely nothing. And we're impoverished. That is the definition of poverty. We go on to the fourth card in the position of purpose, and we have the lovers. Here we get a fuller ramification here. This is presented in terms of the male-female elements, but it's much more than that. It's any pair of opposites. A pair of opposites is defined by the presence of one force that needs another force. And until we are able to recognize the magnetic importance of combining the positive force with the receptive force, we can't make that whole. The moment we recognize the vibratory relationship between the two, we have the key to working with fulfillment, with completion. But we're not meant to go through life with half a loaf. Wisdom needs its application. Insight needs its expression, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this is the way the mind is designed to work. Again, it requires the emotions can sense duality, but it will tend to aggravate it. It will tend to expand it, blow it out of shape, magnify it. Whereas the mind will discern the rift and heal it, bring the two together that have been long separated. So that's the Lover's card. Our next card, the Star, says almost identical, almost the same message, except it says in terms of the soul and the personality. The soul is the star. The bird below it is the personality. Replicating all the elements and qualities of the soul. And how does it do that? It does it through the law of vibration. The steady pressure of certain vibratory impulses through many life experiences, developing skills and talents and abilities, and it eventually wears off. I'm tempted to go back to the Seven of Pentacles and the person there and his or her pet duck, the personality, and say, now, how many of you have pet ducks or pet anything? You have pet cats, you have pet dogs, some of you have pet horses, perhaps. Maybe a pet hamster or two. In each of these cases, we do not share a common language. If our cat Pericles wants to do something, he can communicate exactly what he wants, but it's through the law of vibration, not through his vast knowledge of English. And so we develop this. This is true of any situation where you have a higher invisible reality and a lower physically oriented but blind to the higher reality existence. So the personality doesn't know the soul exists until it learns to respond to its vibration, learns to respond to inbursts of thought and feeling that it knows comes from the soul. And yet, this is the way things work. We don't know what all the antecedents to America are, but we know that in a very short period of 240 years, we've been able to respond to the vibratory pressure to develop freedom in a very significant way. Well, obviously this goes back far longer than 240 years, but it's a good example of how a unconscious force, such as freedom or liberty, can impress itself upon the consciousness of millions of people in a single country, and they work together toward a common purpose. So that's the creation of a harmony between the inner and the outer, between the invisible and the visible, between the one and the other, between any two forces, and find the collaborative capacity there. And then we come to the card of destiny, our first inverted card, and we have the King of Swords. And the King of Swords brings us up to a level of spiritual mastery, the ability of the soul to dominate and guide the personality through its various exercises so that we enlighten the earth plane. And it becomes a question of creativity, it becomes a question of creation where we enrich life on earth with the will and direction of the Father. And in a very real sense, all these final five cards, starting with this one, all these inverted cards, deal with the issue of becoming aware of the unseen. And that's what I referred to earlier. I'm symbolically in this exploration, I'm using the idea of learning to discern truth when somebody is lying to you. As a symbol for seeing the unseen. And it's through the law of vibration that we can discover this. There are certain people that, it's like if you have a dog and you invite somebody in who's basically unfriendly, your dog will sense that unfriendliness immediately and growl and grumble it. I mean, even Perry does this too, but he does it with anybody that's never been here before. Sometimes we will have been. But animals can sense a threat, where humans let their social behavior modify it and say, oh, well, you know, yeah, he's a stinking, dirty lout, but hey, I'm a polite person, and my politeness will shake hands with him. And therefore, we lose our sense of vibratory response. All right, let's go on then. I'm going to pause here before we tackle the pillar of revelation. Any comments or questions before I move on?
I have a question, Carl.
Go ahead, Dorothy.
In the healing seminar, we were using the Om to bring in the, I guess, the vibration of whatever archetypal healing energy and use that within ourselves. And then we also have the meditation to send that out to the world. So is that correct in describing it as tapping into like the vibration of goodwill?
Sure.
Okay.
Specifically the vibration of healing life, healing vitality, which is an aspect of love and therefore related to goodwill. And for all intents and purposes, we could say it is an aspect of goodwill. But specifically, it's the force of, and this is what we have to come to understand, is that divine life is kind of like those seven pentacles on the tree, except that they're not hung like ornaments on a Christmas tree, or even arranged like chakras in a physical system. But they are vortices of energy that we can identify with, learn to sound their vibration, and then replicate that in physical life. And so we can become attuned to the freedom vortex of the Spirit of America and use that to guide us and lead our lives. We can attune into the wisdom vortex of divine life and do the same thing, and so on and so on and so on. And that's the way in which we're meant to harness the law of vibration.
Carl, could I add something I've been thinking about? Not only that, but then our work is to take that divine vibration, and as we meet something that is not divine, to find what will harmonize or transmute that energy, correct?
Well, be more specific. Be more specific. What do you mean, that which is not divine?
Oh, I'm thinking of, working with peace to transmute, frustration or something like that. You know, when you meet someone with crappy energy, if you respond to the crappy energy, you're only magnifying that.
Right.
But if you respond with the divine energy, then you're helping everything. You're helping yourself. You're learning a lesson. You're helping that person because you should be able to help them raise their vibrational level. You give them more of a chance to work with their bad emotions or energy if you are responding with the divine or what would help.
Sure. It's the old Revolutionary War slogan, don't crap on me. Absolutely.
But you know what, it takes a long time. So, I mean, it sounds so simple. It's just the fact that, you know, you reach a point where it's like, I'm trying, and then it's like, okay, you know, I'm responding not the way I want to. And that happens sometimes with us. But I think as we go along and we are in these classes and we hear more of this, you know, just your opening with what vibration does and how you really can change things. You can change things in the world by choosing the appropriate vibration, the divine vibration.
And that's the important point here, is that the reality is the vibration, the energy. The thing is just an embodiment of that vibration. So it can always be changed. Crap can always be refined. Anger can always be transmuted into love and cooperation. So we need to understand the vital primacy and importance of energy in our life. We are not things, we are beings. Mm-hmm. And that's such a fundamental difference. Most people think of themselves as a thing. They identify excessively with their animal nature. And they think the most important thing in life is their health. No, the most important thing in their life is their integrity. What is the value of having great health if you are a rotten human being? Who will poison everything that he touches. The most important thing in life is our being, our energy, our relationship with God, which gives us the freedom to do just about anything we undertake to do. And so we're discovering how important the law of vibration is to liberating our consciousness.
Yes.
What else? Anything before we finish this up? Well, let me go on and approach the pillar of revelation here. This is we start with the eighth card, the real question, which is the Eight of Cups. And we have a fellow here who's perhaps reluctant to give up his eight cups, but he needs to cross that river, and if he tries to carry the eight cups with him, he'll probably drown along with them. What he needs to do is figure out how to lash them together so he can ride them like a boat across the water. But he hasn't come to that point yet. The real question is, how can we connect with invisible forces, unseen forces again? And we're back to that theme. This is, he's crossing the river into the future. The future is the unknown. What will the unknown bring? What are we giving up by? And really, it's a card of sacrifice. And sacrifice is one of those things which, when you stop and realize it, sacrifice has constantly run through all the religions of human history. And it's a counterintuitive kind of thing. If you... It is stunning that as unlikely a subject as sacrifice is so commonly accepted by people in every section of the world. Now there are people who openly reject it, but the person on the spiritual path understands the need for sacrifice as a way of learning to respond to the vibration of the greater force, the divine, in this particular case. And we never are quite sure what we're sacrificing or what the requirement of sacrifice is, But if we learn to respond to the archetypal forces of life, then we will be guided effectively and enrich, the keynote here is the enrichment of our human family. That's echoed in our next card, The Unseen Forces, where we have these two kitties sniffing the flowers, smelling the flowers together. And they, there's three different levels. There's the, corresponding to the three gunas from Hinduism, the sublime, the subtle, and the gross. And they're all expressions of beauty, but the two of these, the male and the female here have come together and are enjoying the aroma of the most subtle and rarefied of the flowers. The next level down is the subtle, and the third level down, quite beautiful still, is cruder and grosser. So we have here the idea of interplay and the fact that even though they didn't realize perhaps that they shared this interest in aromatherapy, they're able to come together and agree that this is the most sublime expression of divine beauty, grace, whatever it might be, and that it enriches their life and the life of those around them. So again, we're going back to the lover's card here and seeing how important the law of vibration is in terms of learning the lessons of sharing and working together, cooperating. This is the way this happens. Let's say you're a very opinionated person that thinks that all Christians are evil. And you live your life and you make a lot of enemies. You keep people away from you. Guess what your next lifetime is likely to be? You're likely to be born in a very fundamentalist Christian family, dependent upon the love and care and ministrations of very opinionated Christians to grow up and discover who you are. And in that way, you learn to respond to the vibration of the traditions, the power, the accumulated benevolence of the Christian tradition, and you stop hating Christians. Now, obviously I could impose a lot of different examples there, but opposites attract to themselves their opposite members so that they learn to respect the values and principles guiding the opposing person or thing or whatever. And then they eventually adopt them for themselves. And in that way, the interplay of life gives them the rich experience they need to become a decent human being. It's not karma. It's not this other thing. It's just a simple case of vibration. And the sooner they took it upon themselves to learn the law of vibration, the easier it would be, the more they could cut out all the crap and nonsense of disappointment and all the silly hostilities of life and learn their lesson. Okay, we go on then to the ninth card, the spiritual ideal. This is the Queen of Rods. She's here ruling along with the king, and it reinforces again the absolute importance of the mind and the development of the mind to respond to spirit, and the need for control and poise in the mind, the purity of thought. It is purity of thought that allows us to reveal beauty and truth and so on, and all those wonderful mental things. And this is what the Queen of Rods is implying. We must be pure in order to control and discipline our thoughts, and unless our thoughts are disciplined and controlled, we can't be a healer, we can't be a helper, we can't be a leader or a guide, because we will let our own personal prejudices interfere. So, that's the importance of the clean, well-tempered mind in this whole thing. Then we come to our final card, the fulfillment, the Nine of Swords, where the Aquarian woman has set down her jug that she's using to carry water, and she is bereft by some loss, her lover, her cohort on the path, whatever, her colleague. And she's overwhelmed by the hopelessness of it all, the ancient evil, the residue of ancient evil that is still here. And there's no question about the fact that the life of the person is designed to take on the suffering of the world and the imperfection of the world and find a way to raise its quality. And this is good and noble work, but it's very difficult if we don't have the key. And the key is the law of vibration. We live like the Nine of Cups in the lower level here on Earth, beneath the mean, whereas all the solutions to our problems exist above the mean in unseen dimensions where without some help, we don't have a clue how to get to them. But this is what the law of vibration offers, is it offers us an understanding that if we don't lose our cool and forget who we are, if we can always do that, we can be so overcome by the grief of the Nine of Swords that we are overwhelmed by the ancient residue. But otherwise, if we maintain our wits about us and our understanding of the law of vibration, we can summon the courage, the strength, the love, the joy, the sense of triumph of the soul, of spirit, and use it to lift up the quality and refine the residue of ancient evil so that it works for us, not against us. And this is what the law of vibration gives us, that capacity to cross the seeming gulf in consciousness, the gulf between our life on earth and our life in heaven. And so it's a very, very significant law of life, a very important one to understand and to work with. And I'm going to stop there. Comments, questions?
Well, I was thinking about a couple of things here at the end, one of which is the fact that the very best teacher of all is the one who loves learning, because they teach just by their very vibration.
Sure. And that's the whole key to teaching anything, is you convey your love of learning, your total attunement to what you're learning, and you encourage other people to operate on that same wavelength. Good. Anybody else? Any other comments or questions? Well, I believe we're done. And I want to thank you all for participating. I want you all to have a Merry Christmas. And we will finish this series January 6th with the Law of Integration. Thank you and good night.